The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on the break!
With Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, Ambar Garcia, and Derek Eagleton.
It is Wednesday, October 5th, 2022, season 18, episode number 44. Welcome to the latest edition of The Break, live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. We are presented by Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. And we are today going to focus on the Los Angeles Rams, their offense versus the Cowboys defense. We'll spend quite a bit of time there. Brian's got a game for us in the third segment, so
round
that should
two.
Be lots of fun. Maybe we get to it today. We thought we'd get it to it yesterday, but these guys talk too much. So
Nick
we didn't
wanted
get to
argue.
So we didn't get to it. But let's start first. Let's get some catch-ups on some injuries and some stuff that Mike McCarthy had to talk about. Let's start with Dak Prescott. What's he going to be doing this week? What's wrong?
Nothing. I was going to start with Damone Clark. But go. Yeah,
you know
I guess you should start with the quarterback.
You probably need to, but I will say this. Of all the names I got on this list, that's the one that has a star by it because Damone Clark, I think we all have been waiting to see him get out there. So, but let's start with Dak. Give me an update on Dak. What are we looking at there? You all right, Amber?
This is just something flying around. It's trying to kill it. I don't like things flying around me. I'll smash it.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. Proceed.
All right, give me an update on Dak. Where are we?
Yeah, I don't really know. I'll be honest with you. Just came from
Brian, why don't you tell us what
don't know what the coach said.
Yeah, y'all getting to see now. Nick's now, he's a boss, so he actually has to go to meetings now. He can't always just go to press conference. Go
ahead, Brian. With Dak,
he won't do that again.
It was always going to be, that thing's not going to get near me now.
No, it's dead.
I think Ambar wounded it to where it's flying in circles. The thing with Dak was always going to be about the healing of the wound, the rotation in the joint or the thumb, and then the grip strength. And from what I've heard, they've had a little bit of swelling. Dak is always going to work hard at this. Britt Brown's going to work hard at these. Guys are going to try and push and push and push. And I'm not saying it, you know, that's the reason. It's like they push so hard, and then all of a sudden some swelling reappears and things like that. And then it turns into you can't grip the ball correctly. And that's where this thing's at right now. If they can get the grip strength to be where it needs to be for him to hold the ball and be able to throw it, then he'll be out there practicing. But, you know, the more that you watched last week, they were talking about, well, they're going to shoot for the Rams game. And I just was like watching him, you know, you never heard about him in practice today. He threw this and or he did this or he did that. You never heard that. It was just him kind of watching things, you know, helping, being in support. And so you're like thinking, well, and I asked after the game on Sunday, I said, where are we at with the quarterback? And I got the definite, hey, we're going to try and shoot this thing for Philadelphia. We're going to try and see if it works. So I know on my station, 105.3, The Fan, I was like adamant about that. I was adamant about it on the postgame show that I didn't think he was going to play. And so until he gets that grip strength, then once that happens, then we can start the clock on what game he could be back for.
All right.
McCarthy seemed to be getting a little annoyed with all the questions being asked to him about like the specifics of what are the things specifically that Dak is doing as far as his rehab. And he just, it was pretty funny. But anyways, he doesn't know all the details, doesn't want to get into it. He's basically at a good spot. The doctor visit went well. The stitching and everything, the healing has been looking very good. Obviously, stitches are out already, but he just made it clear he's good on his rehab and what he needs to be.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, he says he doesn't know all the details or whatever. Like, there's no way that's right. There's no way as a head coach that, I mean, it's okay not to say the details to the media because he's very annoyed by, you can tell every week he's like, he's always throwing shots, how everybody's reporting different plays and stuff. He hates how it's covered. You know he hates every Tuesday morning on The Fan.
Yeah.
When Jerry gets there, Dr. Jerry goes and says that kind of stuff. He's not used to that. But you're not a coordinator You're a walk-around coach. You know the details of your quarterback's thumb. If you don't,
yeah,
that's
but here's the deal. I think the difference is, and this is where Todd was the one that asked the question. Todd Archer, friend of the show. The question he asked, and I don't know if McCarthy didn't take it right or if Todd was actually asking this, but the way it kind of came off was literally, what are the exercises and rehab regimen that he's doing to repair it? And McCarthy's kind of like, well, I don't really know all the different exercises.
Right.
Well, that's what he was more getting to, I think. And that's what I think he was a little bit annoyed by was, like, do you guys want me to tell you he's doing, thumb wrestling? And I don't know what.
Yeah.
So I think that was more of what it was. Well, and I don't know if it was what Todd was asking, but I think that's the way he took it, in my opinion.
And he's not the only one. Belichick the other day did that thing with Mac Jones. And he said day-to-day like 12 times and said, what am I, a doctor? I'm like, yeah, you probably are.
In this role as a professional NFL coach, yeah, you kind of have to be.
Well, and then the question was asked in a follow-up, though, well, okay, the people that are doctors, what are they telling you?
Right.
And he's like, it's day-to-day.
It's day-to-day, yeah.
Well, see, that's the thing about it, too, is I think you both have shed light on it the right way. I think Mike really he's never had to do this. He's never had to deal, and he's, this season now, fourth season here with the team?
Third season
with the team. I'm trying to think now where we're at.
2020, 2021. Wow. Year three. Yeah. Okay. He started with 2020.
So year three. Okay. He's never in Green Bay. Trust me, I spent 5 years of my life up there. They don't have an owner.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have somebody. They don't have a general manager. Ted Thompson was not coming out. And Teddy would tell you far less than what Mike McCarthy would even tell the Green Bay media. So Mike is – I think there's a level of frustration where Mike is like, I have to stand up here and answer these questions, because what's happened is if you look at the timeline for Dak returning, it's kind of like the stock market. It's way up, it's way down, it's way up, it's way down, it's way up. No, it's flat now, and now it's up again. Now it's – he's having – that message, he's having to deal with the expectations of the general manager. And what the general manager is selling the hey, he's going to be back, he's going to be back. And Mike's never had to deal with that. And that's when you work for the Dallas Cowboys, that's the voice. You have to, as a coach, you have to know that you're going to get questions, because the general manager talks twice on our station, and we're glad to have him, and he talks immediately after a game. Yeah. So you have three opportunities in a week to try and pin Jerry on what's going to happen here. And, so I think that's the thing that he might be getting really frustrated about.
Yeah, you're right. After a game when Dak got hurt against the Bucks, Jerry comes right out and talks, and McCarthy hasn't even hit the podium yet. Yeah. And what he is saying is not the same. It's not the same thing. He's not as definitive about him being out for a while. And, all this started when they didn't put him on IR, too. When they didn't put him on IR, it's like, well, could same with Gallup. They didn't put him on IR because he did come back in the fourth game.
Good point.
And now, but they didn't put Dak on IR, and there's different reasons for that, and it wasn't about just playing. It was about being around the team.
Yeah.
Nick's point's right. Coaches know exactly what's going on with
them. They know.
Yeah, they definitely know. They definitely know. And I don't know that he knows the detail. Like, literally today, he's going to do this exercise and this exercise and this exercise. But he certainly, you're right. He knows the prognosis of his quarterback and what's going on with his quarterback. He may not always want to say that. And in some instances, he may not have to if he were on another team.
Sure.
In this team, he's got to always be aware of what did the owner say, because that's an equally more powerful, I should say, not equally powerful, more powerful voice in your own building who talks regularly. You got to be aware of that.
I wish Mike would have come out today and said, well, he's going to do the Fleming procedure.
Right.
And then they're going to go into Jones' rehabilitation system. And then they're going to, it would have been funny if he'd have just listed all.
There's all these terms that everyone's Googling.
He's
got gamekeeper thumb, and now and they're dealing with it in a way, So.
And everyone's in the press box. What's gamekeeper thumb?
Yeah. That's actually a real injury, by the way. Gamekeeper
thumb
is a real injury. And by the way, real quick, it's a scouting term. It's a scouting injury because back in the day, people used to, when they collect birds, and you reach down to get the bird, your thumb would jam into the ground. And so it was like you would break your thumb or you would have an injury. So they called it gamekeeper, game being birds. And you're gathering birds, and these people would slam their thumbs into the ground and suffer injuries.
Yeah.
And we now use it as a scouting term.
There's also one called Xbox-itis.
Yeah.
Where you, and I think Derek has that. Derek has in your thumb, like, messed up?
It's gone down quite a bit because I don't play as much as I used to, but it used to be like a huge bump
blister
that sat there. Yeah. It wasn't even a blister. It was just like, it was a callus that came from the actual bone.
Yeah.
It was just kind of this big, and I was, that was, you know, I used to play a lot of.
Dang.
Don't play
that. That's why
anymore.
I stopped playing the guitar. I was going to, oh, yeah. I was learning to play the guitar. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, this is painful. Yeah. And I quit. Yeah. But. Yeah.
All right, let's jump back in. let's get an update. Actually, talk about Damone Clark. Where are we with Damone Clark?
He's back. He's never was never here, so I don't know if he's back because he's never practiced.
Well, he's been here.
He's been here.
His back's feeling better.
Yeah, neck and back, and he's, you know, fifth round pick that they drafted with hopes that he could, you know, be further along. And I think that was one of the issues. You know, when he got hurt right after the Senior Bowl, the doctors and trainers have different opinions on these guys and when they could come back. And so I think there's some teams that didn't want to draft
him. Off the board. Yeah.
And they got him in the fifth round. And I don't think anyone really thought it would be this early in the season that he would be starting to practice.
Yeah, that's the thing about it. Coming at it, when you – that's my alma mater. So I watched him play. The Cowboys stole one here. And the Cowboys have a great history of taking guys that are injured and saying, okay, we'll be patient, because they do trust Jim Maurer. They do trust Britt Brown. This kid right here, you talk about a guy that, I mean, the last 2 years, LSU struggled to be 500 after a national championship team. He never quit. He never wavered. He played hard. He's a big guy. You watch, stand next to him physically. Stand next to him and you're going – man, this guy, he's like that Micah Parsons kind of big body guy.
Is he like Rolando McClain kind of big?
Yeah,
as a
linebacker? Yes. And, you know, Brill Cox is a smaller, more cover. This guy can cover. This guy can rush. This guy can tackle. This guy takes on runs.
What doesn't he do?
I'm just telling you,
If
he's not, well, real quick, if he's not injured, or the Cowboys were the ones that found the problem with his back neck area, he's maybe a late one, early two draft pick. He was on a lot of boards. I never moved him off the board because I'm thinking somebody's going to take. I had him in the second round, I know, on my board. And when he was taken by the Cowboys, I'm like, here they go. They stole one. They did their homework on a guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He didn't mess around. That's what he doesn't do.
Yeah.
You know, Joe DeCamillis used to say, one of my favorite coaches of all time, used to call people some JFAs, some Johnny F around.
Yeah.
Just sitting over there. He doesn't do that. This guy is business approach. He's come in from day one. And I think that's one of the reasons why he's already ready to play is because he's ready to practice. We'll see what happens. He starts practicing. But like, his commitment to rehab and getting better has been here from day one. He's not one that's... You're not going to see a lot of our social media interviews and fun little, what's your favorite color? I don't think that's going to be him. He was here from the very first mini camp. You remember when he was standing there going through the drills as much as he could. I mean, taking the steps and all that. He has been mental reps from day one, and like he's here to play. And if he can contribute at all, this could be, like you said, it could be a steal.
Yeah.
Wow, that gets me really excited, because you talk about the strength of this defense, and I think that maybe they are just kind of one or two tweaks. I don't even want to say players, but tweaks away from really kind of taking that step to where we're talking about a really, really extremely dominant defense, and he might be that piece, right? He might be that guy, linebacker, which linebacker is a position we talked about a little earlier this week, that sometimes you get have a little bit better play there.
This
guy
wants to be in every tackle. That's when you watched him play at LSU. He played on a defense that was struggling, and but every single play, you're like, that's him. That's him again.
I remember last year, Dave was, you know, we were talking about Arkansas LSU game, and I was like, he was like, you guys are gonna win, and I was like, I don't know. He's like, we're not very good this year, and I was like, well, who's number 18? Because I've seen him play, and number 18
is a famous number at LSU.
Yeah, and he got the number, but you know, we don't have any players that look like that. And, you know, I mean, that's just how good he is. He just pops out, and he's a linebacker. He's not just – I mean, he looks like a defensive end, though.
Yeah, he is.
Is he an off-the-ball guy, or is he going to do some rushing?
He can play off the ball. You could play this guy anywhere. He's got that kind of – I'm not – overselling this because he's an LSU guy. I'm just telling you, when you watch him play, he rushes, he attacks, he spies. I mean, Nick's talking about it. That
you're making it sound like a mini Micah Parsons.
I'll tell you what. This guy.
He's bigger, though.
Right.
Not mini.
No, that's why I'm hearing the same thing, Amber. I'm kind of like, y'all telling me I got another Micah?
I'm telling you, this guy legitimately, you know, when you start to talk about the best linebackers in the country, this was one of them. Mm-hmm. This guy was one of them. And people took him off the board because they were scared of his back and that situation. And, you know, I'm like, when the Cowboys took him, I just remember sitting here in this exact spot and thinking, they stole another one. They stole a guy that people are just going to sleep on and because of an injury. And, you know, good for them. I got him practice. But I promise you, when he gets the opportunity to play, you'll find out who that cat is.
All right. Real quick, we do need to hit one more name. Jake McQuaid, we find out yesterday, has an injury, is gone for the season.
How'd you guys not get me a look as a workout on the deep snapping thing?
What? Oh, you should have.
I actually thought that was funny. You were talking about it on 105.3. The fan is saying, I was like, that actually would have been a great bit if we could have run Brian with the long gray mane running out there. Yeah, I'm here, guys.
I'd have worn a GoPro, like a chest GoPro, you know, and done the workout. Kind of like what Eli Manning did. I would have done the same thing.
Brian Anger said no to that, even though they appreciated how you guys spell your names. He heard about the story where you broke the holder's thumb or finger.
Finger. To this day, my buddy Todd Tomlinson, who's in South Carolina, he's got a hook. I go, if you're watching, he's got his little pinky as a hook. And I snapped a ball low to him in the Kentucky game, and it smashed his finger against the kicking block.
Ouch.
And he didn't want to get it fixed. He just kept. So to this day, he's got a little bit of a hook because of me.
With your name on it.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
That's what.
But yeah, I would have worn the GoPro, gone out there. Kind of, I wouldn't have, you know. I just go out there. Hey, I'm ready. You know, wearing the grays, gone out there, tried to cover. Can you see me like chugging down?
That would have been so funny.
Yeah, that would have been good. They got. I know that there's two guys. I don't know if the names have been out yet. And I don't even have studied
them
yet.
They did
mention Overton. I think is one of them. They have two guys they're going to put on the practice squad. Basically. They're going to call them up on a game day elevation. So they had to get Will Greer on the team. So McQuaid will go to IR. Greer,
explain why they had to do that.
Greer, you only get three call-ups for the practice squad. So he's already had three. There's no more elevations on game day for him. So, you know, they're trying to – he'll be on the team for however long until Dak comes back, and then I guess they can move him back down.
Tucker, at that point, they got to cut him to be able to get him back to the practice squad, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, he's now officially one of your 53. Yeah. Tucker Addington and Matt Overton are the two snappers that are now on your practice squad.
Yeah. And, you know, and we've seen, you know, backup snappers. And I was asked on the radio this morning, is this going to be a problem? And I'm like, I was here in 2001, and so I know that it
John
was,
Congo? What was it?
No, not him. It was – we brought in – Mike Solwald and Randy Chevrier.
Randy Chevrier.
One guy was driving a truck.
Yeah.
Like, and he was
that was my area. I couldn't remember Chevrier.
He was about to take a big truckload to California. But like, you know what? I mean, it was almost like the movie Major League when he was like, well, I got another guy on the line with some white walls. I mean, let me go manage the team. And it was like that. And the snaps, I mean, he basically had a bad snap in a game against Atlanta and broke the kicker's foot because he tried to pick it up. And, you know, so it was
It can go bad.
It can go bad.
Broke well, you the went kicker's all... foot.
So they're playing the Falcons, I believe. Yeah. This was like 2001, and it wasn't Chevrier. It was Solwald had a terrible. I mean, this is like to win the game or late in the game, and it was like a 50-yard kick. Snap goes over his head. The kicker, who's like he was a teacher before the Cowboys called him to be a teacher.
Cedar. He goes
to pick up the ball. He gets tackled, breaks his foot. He's out. So they replaced the snapper. Like, that was your last snap. The kicker, he had to get a new kicker. Shockingly, this was not a good football season for the Cowboys.
No, what are you reminding me once again?
Look, I knew Brian was going to be like,
No, he's right not wrong. He is not wrong.
I mean, I don't know. I think
every
it was the Falcons.
Every day I'd walk by
it
Nick and I go,
Saints.
I go, this guy knows. This guy knows what's going on here today. You know?
That was your last snap. It was bad. You know, and the same thing happened in 2005. I mean, I think the LP story is one of my favorite stories of all time. I love it.
LP.
And just because he was in California.
What's he doing now?
And we were there. I don't know.
You might need him to come back.
I was about to say, like, can we make a phone call? Like, what are we doing?
Let me just tell you this.
Call him, say we got cookies, and he'll
Yeah, oh, yeah, he's eating a cookie. There's no doubt he's eating a cookie.
Or pushing somebody down.
And
Keep moving.
Yeah, talking.
All right through.
But I can tell you what's going to happen.
It's nice being with you guys on the radio.
This is what would happen. LP drives into the parking lot. He's about to walk in, and there's security guards there, and he's like, I'm here. I'm about to gonna fill in here for a few games. And Jason Witten's standing at the door as the new security guard. He's like, No, you're not doing that. No, thank you. No, I got a big mural up here. You don't. Because Jason Witten has the Cowboys record for 255 career games.
Yeah.
LP Lattiser has 253.
Yeah.
Ooh. You think Witten's going to let LP come in here, snap the ball 3 or 4 times and break his record? No, not happening. He's got a mural. He's going to call Charlotte. He's just like, this ain't happening.
He was one of our favorite guys.
I'm kidding.
You're not kidding.
He's like, I think.
But I'm thinking that Witten has that much power. I don't know if he does, but because if so, he would have been a coach. But no, damn. Kidding.
This is a show where he's just bringing up
all the old stuff.
I'm just saying, you know, he did get released. I mean, you know, okay. he got cut. But
did you see him going up to Jerry's office?
Yeah, no. I think they're going, you know, it's not like.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have signed LP when they had him, you know, and he wanted to come back and play.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's going to happen. They got the younger guys, and you know, most of the time around the league, college, high school, most snaps are pretty good. You would think these guys are going to be pretty good. So
I just hope it doesn't throw off what we got going right now at the kicker, because there is rhythm to it, right? And I'm a little bit concerned about that, because the kicker's doing a really great job right now. I don't need anything messing up his mojo.
Hey, truth be told, McQuaid wasn't snapping well. He wasn't.
Yeah, that was a question that there were people in the organization are like, maybe some of the problems that you're having at training camp might have been snapper related.
There were people
walking up to me in the preseason like, hey, listen, I know you guys are busting on these kickers right now, but just watch the snaps in practice and tell me what you think. But this Matt Overton, he's a veteran. He's a 10-year guy. You know, he's been places.
That's what I want.
Seattle, Indy, Jacksonville. I mean,
he's done it.
Chargers. This guy's done it in games.
Yeah. All right. Let's take our first break. When we come back, we'll jump into the Rams offense versus the Dallas defense. This is DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a 3-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them Cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the Cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
Want to use what the pros use? How about the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys? Jack Black. Right now you can get the Jack Black Starter, a curated collection of Cowboys locker room favorites for just $10 with free shipping. The starter includes 4 Jack Black skincare favorites plus a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Go to getjackblack.com/cowboys and use the code word TEAMJB. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys. The Jack Black Starter, $10, free shipping.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Back to the break.
If things are a little blurry when you see, clear it up with Essilor lenses. Book an appointment at your local Essilor experts. Find the perfect lens for you. See more, do more. Essilor.
Welcome back. It is the second segment of The Break Live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. This segment is brought to you by blockchain.com. Let's jump right in. Los Angeles Rams offense versus Dallas defense. And I know I usually start with what do they do best, but I'm going to alter that this week and say, other than throwing to Cooper Kupp, what do they do best offensively?
Yeah, what you're going to get this week is, I feel like with the protection problems and studying their game, studying their all 22, it was really more about the 49ers did a great job on the outside of covering. And I mean, covering is they couldn't get the ball quick enough to Kupp, or they couldn't get the ball quick enough to Higbee. They tried to get the ball to Robinson, and it just hasn't worked out as well as they've hoped. They struggle at the offensive tackle spot. They've been banged up inside. The thing that I think they do the best is they're going to try and control Dallas's rush with how we saw. I went back and watched two games, this past game, and I went back and watched the Arizona game just because of their defense as well. You're going to see the wide receiver screens. You're going to see the screens at the back. This quarterback is very comfortable, and when I talk about Matthew Stafford, of throwing it from any arm angle. He will throw around rushers when they go up. He's got that little flick. He'll throw over the top. He is a really, really good deliverer of the ball when it comes to the screen packages. I have a feeling they're going to try and not only do they run the wide receiver screens, but they run the running back screens too. And they're not going to let Dallas tee off on this with their defensive line. So it's going to be ball down the field. You're absolutely right. It's Cooper Kupp. They're trying to get Robinson involved. They just can't. I mean, they can't get him going. But him and Higbee are the guys that the main people you have to stop. They're going to throw the ball to Henderson. They're going to throw the ball to Akers if they can. And it's probably going to be to control your rush through some screens. They did it in two games that I watched. It wasn't just, okay, we need to do something to keep San Francisco off us. They did it also against Arizona. So get ready for that to kind of control your rush.
We know they are vulnerable at the offensive line. I think that's probably the area of greatest vulnerability. My question for you is, what part of that offensive line is most vulnerable that the Cowboys should be focused on trying to really exploit?
Yeah, we'll see what happens with David Edwards, their guard they drafted in the fifth round in 2019. He's been banged up. They've been playing with a guy named Bobby Evans, who was a third round pick in 2019, and they just haven't been very stable there. The center, Brian Allen's been nicked up as well. Noteboom is a kid that's interesting. I think a lot of it, when he gets in trouble, he's the left tackle, and he gets real tall. He doesn't play with very good knee bend, and so what happens is people take him back, or they'll beat him with quickness, and he just hasn't been able to adjust because he's so tall, and he just can't, without a base, he can't move or slide. So that's a big problem for them in that regard. And then this Rob Haverstein, he's a veteran guy, he's kind of a mauler, brawler guy. He's not really a great athlete. I think Tank will have some good rushes against him because Tank's really good of when a tackle throws hands, Tank is good on the slap and then get his left shoulder or his right shoulder underneath and then press that way. And Haverstein is not that – I don't think he's a great athlete because I say he's a mauler, brawler kind of guy. Their running game is – they're capable. They're capable of running the football. Cam Akers and Henderson, they can run the football. They just haven't had a lot of space in the games that I've – but there are some times where in that Arizona game where they got the ball out in the perimeter, and that's the kind of the things. That's now my new thing. Watch perimeter runs against teams that you play against. If they have guys that are capable, when they miss up perimeter runs, it's bunch formation, and then they get kind of muddled and confused on who they're supposed to block. The receivers struggle with that a little bit on the edge, but they're a capable team of doing it.
I was just I'm just feeling old. I remember Note Boom being in high school, covering him at Plano Senior High
TCU, right? I didn't know he was a Plano guy.
Plano guy, then went to TCU.
Plano Senior?
Yes. Okay. And he's made a good career for himself. But, like you said, I mean, that is their issue. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out, like, you know, how do the Rams win this game? And they're favored to win.
I know how they win.
With defense?
No. I think their running game it has not gotten off. They got some good running backs. And by the way, if you hadn't noticed, Cowboys are toward the bottom of the league when it comes to stopping the run. Somehow it hasn't reflected in points they're giving up because at the top of the league it's in not allowing teams to score. But they have not been successful stopping the run this season when you look across the games that they've played. And this game looks to me like that kind of game.
Well, that's the part that will bother me. More a question for you, Brian. But how to that point then, because I was looking at the running game, what it's looked like, I'm like, okay, yes, they're good running backs, but it's not something that's taken off just yet. How has the opposing teams that they played, do they have a good running defense?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was watching with Arizona, and then I was watching with San Francisco. San Francisco has got really good safety play, and they've got linebackers that can really, really run. And now, okay, that's your trick right there if you're the Cowboys is, when the Cowboys have looked bad defending the run, it's been a defensive end, and then it's been a linebacker not getting up, and it's a corner playing wide. And it's also, you watch some of these teams play like the 49ers. Their corners are coming up and making plays. They're willing tacklers. I mean, even watching guys, like Ramsey play for them when we get to their defense, Ramsey will force. Ramsey will come up and make a tackle. Your corners tend to play, and I'm talking about Brown too. I'm not just talking about, they play Diggs. Wide. Yeah, wide. Brown and Diggs, they tend to stretch, and they get pushed. And what happens, that creates that seam or that space to, if they get the corner. I mean, I think it's been really, really hard on the Cowboys because they're not just one guy gets blocked. You get an end gets blocked, you get a linebacker that's a step late, and you get a corner that plays wide. You're going to give up some stuff off the edge. And I think the opponents that have faced the Rams, they don't play that way. You don't see. Now, we'll see if in fact, that there's times where, with Kearse being in, me personally, my adjustment for I put Kearse on the field and I take Barr off the field is what I do. Because, I mean, Barr to me is he hasn't seen this. There'll be motion across or the jet motion, and then there'll be the handoff behind it, and you'll see him, eyes on jet motion going this way, ball's coming the other way, and you're going, no, you got to get over here. And then Vander Esch has been like he's having to kind of make up for the defensive end getting hooked, and then all of a sudden there's not a forced player behind him. And I don't know if it's all on Vander Esch either, but when they play bad against the run, it starts at the end and then the linebacker and then the corner. That's usually what happens with them.
And I'll throw this out to you, Amber, too. You talk about trying to get a comparative of kind of the Cowboys relative to the teams they play. Check out this for Washington. Washington last week put up 142 yards on the ground against Dallas. In their three previous games, they didn't get more than 88 yards on the ground. They almost doubled
They had some chunk runs.
They almost doubled what they'd been doing previously when it came to what they did last week versus the Cowboys. That's the first thing that alerted to me. And then when you look at the Cowboys' numbers, they've given up 152, 167, 142. Like, you look at what they're giving up on the ground, typically that's a recipe for disaster on a defense. For some reason, it has not been for them. But
I mean, it's still a small sample size, but are we sure these aren't hollow numbers? Because –
they're not scoring.
They're not scoring
right,
anything.
Yeah. By the way,
The scheme is don't give up anything big and also get after their ass. And so what happens is the outside edges and some of the lanes to run the ball. But when they get inside the 20, I mean, Barkley broke off a 35-yarder because he's a really good player and scored. But when they get inside the 20, though, things are shifting down. Yeah. They're squeezing them out and they're getting field goals. And so, yes, those numbers are usually when you run like that, you're going to have a success. But I don't know. I think Dan Quinn, it's almost like these are trap.
Can the Cowboys play against a team that doesn't get penalties?
That's the key.
Yeah, right. And if you're going to play that style of football, which is we're going to run the ball,
yeah,
we're going to take these long drives, because we've seen teams do that all season, yeah, to the Cowboys. They'll have them on these long drives. The problem is most teams can't successfully not have the penalty that, yeah, kills the drive.
Yeah, because somebody, right? Cause somebody's athletic on the defensive line and gets held.
Right.
Yeah.
So now instead of – like the other day, it, you know, they had a they had a 13-yard run in the game, and then it gets a holding call, brings it back. Mm-hmm. And then what happens? Sack, punt. You know, that, I mean, yeah, that's the kind of thing. You know, if teams are able to stay ahead of the chains against, mm-hmm, the Cowboys' defense, and actually Cincinnati did it in the second half of the game. Yep. Remember on the 19-play drive they went on? They only, mm-hmm, got one penalty along, right, the way. Dallas had a penalty. Cincinnati had no penalties. Dallas had 12 men on the field.
And if I'm not mistaken, same thing happened in the Washington game. The one touchdown drive, yeah, they had, they drove the ball down the field, yeah, and they had no mistakes.
No.
And if you can do that and play mistake-free football,
yeah,
that might be a way to neutralize, right, this defense.
You find a way. If Dallas gets you in like long yardage situations, they, you're, kill you. Done.
Right.
If you're medium to them or stay ahead and don't get penalties, that tends to be a little bit more problematic for them.
And here's the other thing to note right now. Opponents are averaging 5 yards per attempt on the ground against the Cowboys. If you can sustain it,
mm-hmm,
there's something there for, yeah, you. You can move the ball, but you can't have penalties. And once they run into a team that can do that clean, they can play, yeah, clean on offense, that's going to be a problem for the Cowboys.
They got to prevent Matthew Stafford from throwing interceptions and stuff. There were a couple in the San Francisco game. In the red zone, he should have had one that was intercepted there. I mean, he will give you the ball. But I have a feeling that they're going to try and run the ball on you in this game, and I think they're going to run screens. I think whether it's screens to Kupp or to these backs or Higbee, they're going to run screens to try and keep you from rushing. That's going to be their form of a running game too.
All right, we're going to take our final break. We'll come back. Brian's got a little game for us. We'll have a little fun here in this final segment. We'll be right back. This is DallasCowboys.com Radio.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field, United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling, United Ag and Turf for winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Lil Sweet! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Back to the break.
If you just don't have enough subscriptions in your life, NFL Plus can give you another one. Live, local, and primetime regular season and postseason games on your phone, your tablet, game replays, and more. Go to plus.nfl.com and start your free trial for NFL Plus today.
Yep, and it's a good thing, too, if you want the All-22.
I miss working with you guys, getting that.
Getting the nice little...
Yeah, and I have to pay for that now, yeah. Derek used to hook me up.
Yeah, we do get a few of those codes every year. I got so many people asking for them now. Can't get to you, Brian, but
yeah,
maybe
okay.
Next year you get to me early.
No, I'll pay. I don't mind paying. It's a good thing to have. It really, really is.
All right, let's jump back in. Brian, you got a game for us.
I do. You remind me of that. I had an old man moment there for a minute. I do. Let me pull the game up. I have it here on my phone. Just feel free to talk among yourself while I do this. All right, here we go.
We love games.
Here we go.
Yeah, just
looking for that.
Yeah, sometimes I forget what I'm doing on the radio. All right. What I've done is the Cowboys have had to run through several guys that have been backups this year. Mm-hmm. And backups, when you know, usually you're kind of like, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to work out. What I would like to know is give me a letter grade and give me a reason why you give your letter grade too on these backups and how they've played. And it's funny because there seems to be so many more on the offensive side of the ball as opposed to the defensive side of the ball. But give me, I'm going to say a player's name. Give me a grade as I go around the room. Ambar, I'll start with you first. And give me the grade and give me the reason why the grade. Okay, here we go. Tyler Smith. How he's played for you.
I would say, A, because one, being a rookie, two, the different changes that he had all throughout training camp without being like completely certain where he was going to play. Then all of a sudden now he has to play tackle and be your starter. The amount, yes, he hasn't played every single snap like completely clean and mistake free, but I think he's done such an amazing job so far, and he's kept it at minimal. I think one of the issues for him going into the season, or questions I would say, was the penalties. Would he be able to stay penalty free? And I think up to this point, like, he hasn't necessarily been a problem in that aspect. So I would say, what did I give him? A?
Gave him an A.
A, yeah. And he's missing the plus, but he got an A.
Derek?
I'm not going to put him on a curve. I think he's a good player. I would give him a B minus. I think he's played well. I think there are still some areas for development. I think there are some plays that you notice from him where you're like, ooh, and you may have gotten away with one there. Like those kind of moments that pop up that maybe didn't get caught, but you know, like that was not a good rep for him. I think there's still some development to work, but for him to work on. But quite frankly, like he is definitely the left tackle of the future. There is no question about that. And the fact you found that and you feel good about that, I think is what the story really is. But I give him a B minus.
Yeah, I give him a B. I think he's been good. He's been really solid. There's some things like you see, and then you know, but I think he's growing and he's doing a really nice job. But I don't agree with the curves as well. Grading on curve. I mean, if I was a teacher, you can't do that. You grade it for what it is. So I think it's a B. But I expect to be sitting here later in the season, and it would be an A.
Yeah, I agree. And by next year, I expect for the next 5 to 7 years, he is consistently A.
I went B-plus on him myself. Okay, Nick, I'll come back to you. I'll swing it the other way. How about Noah Brown?
Noah Brown, I'd give a B-plus. I think he's been a good, solid receiver. Again, not off of expectations. I wasn't expecting him to be like that. He had a game where he was an A-plus and won the game for them. But he's been really good. Not the guy that would take away number one, you know, corners that have to go and find him. But I think that for the role that he's playing, I think he's been really good.
Yeah, I give him a B-plus as well. I was kind of like maybe a B, but I think what you said there at the end, like what he was able to do, that the A-plus game is what gets him up to a B-plus for me, because there was one game they don't win without him.
Yeah, Cincinnati.
They don't win that game without him. So I think from that respect, I'd give him a B-plus. But he's been really good. Again, really good.
Yeah, B-plus as well. If it was based off expectations, I would probably give him an A-plus, because I did not expect him to be anything that he's been so far. But another thing, it comes down, and I saw someone on Twitter comment this, it's like, you guys are basing your opinions or analysis on a guy that he didn't necessarily, like, he's now getting those kinds of opportunities. Therefore, he can showcase what he can really do. I don't think that's fully true, because we have seen him in other occasions and he hasn't been that guy. But I think this year, yes, he's doing what I did not expect him to do. And I thought the Cowboys were not going to be able to survive this first few weeks at the wide receiver course while they were waiting for Michael Gallup and Washington to come back.
I gave him an A myself, because my expectations were every year we kind of see him have a great training camp, but he's backing it up. He had an opportunity last year. I mean, he did have an opportunity. Cedric Wilson played better than him, and that's why Cedric Wilson was able to get what he went. Okay, Ambar, back to you. Donovan Wilson.
Yeah, B plus. I love the guy. You know what? Give him an A. I feel good today. Give him an A. I just love him. I love the way he plays. I love the passion that he has. The way that he's not afraid to make those tackles. He just needs to work on some of those things to kind of be more thoughtful on his moves. But as soon as he cleans that up, and I think it'll just come with a little bit more experience. But once he cleans that up, he'll be an A plus player for me.
Derek. Yeah, I want to give him an A plus because I look at how he's played. I look at the fact that he is a
hell. He might be better in curse.
Like right now, he is doing a lot of different things for them. He's making a lot of plays that I think they need from him right now. The only thing that's a knock at all is that I don't always think he's the smartest guy when it comes to some of the things he does
during the play, after play.
I don't think he's always really thinks about the game the way he needs to. That's the only knock I have him. But even in those situations this year, I don't know that he's killed him with that. Yeah. And that's what makes me still say, I kind of think I want to give him an A+. He's been as good as anybody on this team through the first 4 weeks.
Yeah, I'd give him an A-. I think that, you know, since he's been the starter, they're undefeated. The game that he didn't start against the Bucks, he got a pick off off Tom Brady there. I think that he's come in and done a great job. And the fact that I'm not saying he is even a poor man's Troy Polamalu.
Yeah.
But he reminds me of that safety because there are times where he's back there in a blitz and there's times where he's 40 yards down the field.
There you go.
He guesses right a lot, which means he's instinctive and around the ball. If he can clean up some of those
reckless, over-aggressive penalties
that maybe you will never get out of your system if you're going to play that way. Sometimes it just happens.
Yeah. And maybe that's a part of why he's able to do all the other things he's able to
but,
do. Is
but,
he's
yeah,
a little
I think
reckless.
He's been good. This isn't based off expectations. It's based off a guy that's come in, and the defense has gotten even better in three games.
Yeah, I went A- as well there. I think you're right about it. I think everybody does a really – you guys painted the picture of what the player is. I'm just kidding. Okay, how about Nick? How about Jake Ferguson?
I would say this is not an expectation thing. I would say probably a B-. He's been good in the preseason. I thought he was really good. He caught everything they threw at him.
Yeah.
I thought they held their own when Schultz was out, and then they did a nice job. I mean, nothing has gone backwards with some of these injuries, but nothing too flashy either. I'm thinking about, I'm not thinking about me bringing home a B- because there would have been a party, but I'm just saying for most people, a B- would have been like, hey, good job. You can do better.
Yeah.
You can do better. Keep it up. But B- was that was pretty good. High five.
Not my house.
No?
No, not my house.
Huh? Oh, well, we're still here. I mean,
no, there's a party from LSU. No question about that.
Not my house. I would give him a B. And the reason I give him a B is because I think for the role that they've given him, I don't think they've really asked him a ton to be that guy downfield for them. But what they have asked him to do is block. And I think he's been really good.
Okay,
as
do this for me. I'm sorry, I should have done this. Put both the guys together. Put
him and Hendershot
together.
As one player?
As one player.
As one player, I'm stepping up into the A- range because I think the both of them together, and this is going to sound, it's only been four games, I get it. But they certainly are making me
think. Well, that's what
we're
doing right now.
Yeah, they're really making me think, like, once this season is over, if this continues as it's going, I would be shocked if Dalton Schultz is back here next year. I think he can command a higher number on the free agent market than what the Cowboys would be willing to pay, knowing they have those two guys.
We'll see what happens when Dak comes back because some guys rely on different parts of the game. And I mean, I remember there was times you got to go back and look when Aikman left and Aikman was hurt. Novacek didn't have great games,
never.
But it was just more of like that's what Dak would focus on. So Dak might get back in. You'll see Schultz's numbers
but
go up.
But that
a little
also
more.
Is again that goes to my point. I think that's going to drive him out. Because I think the Cowboys are going to look at it like, do we need to pay him top of the market money? Because I do think they think that he plays like he should be paid among the top tight ends. But they would probably look at it and say, our two young guys, we think we can get the same thing out of them for a lot less money, even combined for a lot less money than what we can pay. And I think that drives him to the free agent market.
How about you, AG?
I would give A-. And they've been doing everything that the Cowboys have asked them to do in a good way. And I remember during the draft, I was looking at film and all that, and I'm like, Ferguson, I was like looking at his stuff, I'm like, eh. But then now when he got here, he started making those catches. I'm like, okay, especially at your backup position, you need those guys, someone that can block. Anyways, I know we got to go, but
A-. A-, good. And the final one is Cooper Rush.
A plus, 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 plus.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Yes. That's all I got to say. Gotta, stickers everywhere.
Stickers just pop, 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 pop.
Yeah, the full paper full of stickers.
A minus.
A minus?
Yeah, just because, you know, but he's getting better every game. His numbers are getting better. They're kind of leaning on him a little bit more. I don't think he helped them. I don't think he was the reason they won every game, but he's certainly not the reason that they've been losing it because they haven't. Yeah. And so you got to give quarterback credit for that.
Yeah, I give him an A minus. It's more about the fact that I don't think they're asking as much of him as what they put on Dak. But it does make me question, like, should they put that much on Dak?
Right.
Yeah. Maybe they need to. Yeah. And, and maybe you get a little bit more out of Dak by not asking of him what
and
you
I think
have
Dak
been asking.
Is, I think Dak has asked that, too. If you look at some of the quotes, I think Dak has kind of mentioned that, too. Like, it's not, it doesn't have to be this difficult. Let's make it simple.
Right.
So.
Thank you guys for playing.
All right.
Thank you for that game. That was interesting. That was fun. We'll get back to some more talk tomorrow. Actually, tomorrow we're going to jump over to the Los Angeles Rams defense. That's the part that can be a little bit tricky. We'll talk about their defense versus the Cowboys offense. Till then, for Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, and Amber Garcia, I'm Derek Eagleton. This has been The Break live on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!